In this episode, I talk about some of the challenges of being a horse professional for many decades, how things change, and perhaps a more positive way to navigate it. So here we go, episode 232, Professionals of a Certain Age. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Okay. I'm going to have to admit that this podcast is a bit about myself. And it's really interesting because I find myself resisting talking about this subject as if somehow if I don't talk about it out loud, it won't be true. But that, as we'll explore, is part of the problem. And, you know, I think just being aware and embracing, and I talk about this all the time, of like accepting what is, and, you know, there's just no way around it. I'm 60 years old and, you know, I'm different than I used to be. And I'm in the horse profession and there's a whole bunch of stuff wrapped up in that. And this, I wanted to do this episode and talk about this, you know, to share a little bit of how I've navigated this in my mind and in practice. But I'm also, I've worked with lots of other professionals who are of a similar age or approaching a similar age or even beyond what I am now. And it's, there's a common, you know, there's some commonness between what we're all experiencing. And I find when I'm looking at other people, I'm much more compassionate and much more hopeful and optimistic than sometimes when I'm just thinking about myself. So as always, being in the position of a teacher role is where I learn the most. Anyway, it's something I've been pondering. And so here we go. I wanted to talk a little bit about this because here's the thing, like there comes a time when things are going to shift for professionals at a certain age. But here's the thing, you know, things are always shifting anyway. Things have been shifting from the beginning, but we kind of put a little more weight onto this particular shift because let's face it, some shifts are less welcome than others, but I don't know, maybe that doesn't have to be. Maybe it's not a matter of just calling this, you know, an unfortunate shift that we have to learn to accept and figure out a way to, you know, to exist with this reality. I don't know, that doesn't sound very much fun to me. So, and like I said, I've been meeting and interacting with so many professionals who are, you know, of a certain age, and I can see in them the frustration by what they can't do anymore. And you know, there's some realities of, you know, physical changes, and some of those are really obvious, right? There's a lifetime of wear and tear, sometimes related to the horse business, you know, compressed discs and, you know, joints and deterioration and what happens when you go like bouncing around on something or falling off of horses or whatever happens during your horse career. And then sometimes it has nothing to do with a horse career. It's just life. It's just stuff that happens. And the other kind of thing that happens is just the natural challenge of you might have to work harder just to stay, you know, you have to work harder in order to maintain the slowly declining fitness and flexibility, you know. And so you have to work hard. It's not going to turn it around, you know. The fountain doesn't give back your youth, but maybe you can sort of decline less quickly. And so we slow down the process. And the other thing that I see as frustrating to many of the people I've seen and, you know, to myself is this realization that there are some horses you just won't ride anymore. Right? There's some specific horses and there's some types of horses that you're like, I'm just not going to do that anymore. And there's more situations that you won't put yourself in anymore. There's the realization that you simply can't sit any trot on any horse as well as you used to. So, you know, the list could go on, right? And it's really easy to focus on the things that maybe seem negative or seem less than. But here's the thing, like the truth is we've all been aging since we were born. Right? So there's not like you go sailing through life and at some point you're aging. We're always aging. And we've always been changing our whole lives. So this is just yet another different moment, the same as any other different moment. Can that be true? The same as any other different moment. I think that's true. Right? The only consistency is that we're always changing. But sometimes changes at a certain point in your life start to feel heavier, more with more meaning in them, with more judgment, with more impact on how we feel about ourselves. So as an eternal optimist, it's hard for me to believe that everything is worse, even though it often feels like it is. So what's that line from the Joe Walsh song? Like, I can't complain, but sometimes I still do. So here's the thing. This is happening. And young people, it's happening to you too, right? It's not that like some people are aging. No, you're aging too. So I would be wondering if there's a young person watching, listening to this episode thinking, oh gosh, it's just going to be, you know, some old lady complaining about what it's like to be old. Like, I would be curious about how this podcast is going to be applying to you also, because I think it is. Not just because you're already aging, but because we often in life will go through periods where we change for whatever reason, right? Aging is just one of the reasons why we might need to change. So I thought, instead of thinking so much about how to navigate this horrible stuff, like, let's reframe it. You know, let's how can we talk about this in a more optimistic way? So here's the thing. At a certain age, priorities change. Different things are important and other things seem less important. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. No matter what your age, it's important to review priorities on a regular basis, or at least every, I don't know, 5 years or so. So my priorities changed and were different at 30 compared to when I was 15, for sure. You know, what if I had never changed my priorities? go through life with the priorities of a 15-year-old. And so why would it be worse to change priorities at age 60 compared to age 30? Living in an outdated operating system is always going to cause frustration and background stress. So I agree. It's like, okay, it's not fun when reprioritization is sort of forced upon you, right? It's sort of fun when you're like, oh, I'm 30 now and I really want to, you know, focus on, you know, family and career, you know, that's sort of like a fun thing rather than, well, my back hurts too much to ride, you know, this horse, right? I better reprioritize, you know? So it's definitely not as much fun when it's forced upon you, but, you know, hey, that's life. And, you know, maybe that's just the universe making a very necessary thing obvious enough that you'll actually do something about it, right? Because the older we get, I think the more we hang on to old prioritization systems. We get good at what we do. We figure out the pattern. We like, this is how I do stuff. And because it came from experience and it probably worked, it's really easy to just keep hanging on to it simply because it's easier just to hang on to it. And the reality is we all have to keep checking in and reprioritizing what's important to us at this moment. And, you know, the universe has a really great way of doing that for you if you can't figure out to do it for yourself. Now, I think sometimes the new priorities could feel like 180 degrees away from the priorities that you used to have. And, you know, if it feels right to you and it feels like it's a reflection of who you are now in your heart, go with it. I mean, that's not easy to do, but you can go with it. I mean, I made a shift, maybe it wasn't 180 degrees, but within my career, it was a pretty good, I don't know, maybe like 120 degree shift. You know, when I was still pretty young, mid 30s to early 40s. And I mean, I'm not saying that sounds young just because now I'm 60, but even at that time, I considered myself to be young, or at least I hadn't noticed that I wasn't younger than that. Anyway, the point is that it was, considered kind of a bold, brave action in my life, and it changed everything. And it was for the better. I mean, the bottom line is it needed to happen. So why wouldn't a shift like that later in middle or late stage of life, why wouldn't that also be considered brave and bold rather than what it can feel like on the inside, which is somehow a compromise or some sort of lesser version? You know, we make a big change in our life when we're 30 and we're like, yeah, look, she's really going for it and finding herself. Well, a lot of times if people try to, you know, think of doing it in their 50s or 60s, like, oh, she's given up. Well, that didn't work out. Well, they can't do that anymore. So maybe it doesn't have to be like that. Maybe there's, you know, yeah, no difference between when we make bold moves, no matter what our age and what we've done before. So often a shift at a certain age, I feel, at least maybe it's in the people that I'm working with, but I've seen that the shifts are in the horse professional world at this age are generally towards kinder and more gentle methods. I mean, maybe it's because it's simply not feasible to fight and argue with a horse anymore. But you know what? It's never been a good idea to fight and argue with a horse, even if you physically can. When we're deep in our careers, we'll also have a more solidified view of who we are. We're more solidified in what our methods are, our branding, our techniques, and what's expected of us. And often people around us can make it difficult to change, most of the time unconsciously, and sometimes very much on purpose. There will be people who will push you to stay the same or say that that's what they expected or that's what they demand. So we have to be really careful not to be overly influenced by that. And especially when you're still needing to have a career, still needing to make money. And I hear that from people all the time that they want to start shifting their methods and the way they do things and what their priorities are. And they're often held to, you know, but I can't because my clients fill in the blank. So I think it's tricky. It really can be tricky. So we just have to, again, trust, put our own hearts and minds at the forefront. So now, as far as the part about, well, I can't sit every trot on every horse again. Okay. But I can still sit many trots a hell of a lot better than I could when I was first doing dressage as a very athletic teenager, right? So we can't sit on every horse all the time. That's okay. And you know what? Now I have the wisdom to know that every trot is not necessarily sittable. And I am much more masterful now, and the instructors that I'm seeing are usually much more masterful at helping horses find balance with a relaxed back and light contact that makes them so much more comfortable to sit. And how isn't that a positive, right? Do you want to, you know, it's a really great skill to be able to sit anything. Gosh, I can remember the great big fancy warm bloods bombing around and I just plunked myself down and I could sit anything. And that's definitely a very important skill. However, It's just as important. I'm not going to say better, it's just different, but extremely valuable to be able to ride a horse so that they are, like I said, in balance with a more relaxed back, more alignment, more light connection. So you're not, you know, holding on, sick, hunkering down and, you know, being able to stay in the saddle smoothly. Maybe that's not something that needs to happen. What I can tell you is my back was in more pain in my 30s and 40s than it is now in my 50s and now 60. So there's something to that, right? So now I have the wisdom to know that every trot is not necessarily worth sitting, right? And you know what's that serenity prayer? You know, except it's not a prayer, it's a mantra now. Like, I have the serenity to rise to that which I cannot sit, and the courage to sit what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So anyway, so the other thing that a lot of people, you know, lament over when getting to be an older professional is, like, you know, like I said earlier, I just can't ride, you know, there's some horses I just won't ride anymore. There's some types of problems I don't want to ride through. That's okay. I mean, there's always been horses that I wouldn't ride. I mean, I can remember when I first started out, I used to pride myself going to clinics and stuff, and I'll sit on anything. Like, oh, that one's, you know, that horse is acting out, let me on it. Oh my goodness. I think I was also very lucky. So, but the truth is, I wouldn't ride a bucking bronco. I mean, there's always horses that I would not ride. So, you know, and over the years, there's many horses that I shouldn't have been riding, or I had no business riding. I just didn't have the wisdom to know it. Like I said, I got lucky. So maybe there's another serenity mantra there. Like, I have the serenity to know which horses I want to ride, the courage to not ride the ones I don't want to ride, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, it also could have been, I have the courage to ride the horses I want to ride and the serenity to accept that I don't want to ride the ones I don't want to ride and the wisdom to know the difference. Because it shouldn't take courage to ride. It should be fun, I think. I mean, unless you're into doing things that scare you, and some people are. But sometimes I think what takes the courage is to say no. Or to admit to yourself that, you know, that you want to say no, right? That you won't take that horse in training because you don't want to deal with that anymore. Like, you're done starting babies, or you don't want to solve the bucking rearing problem or whatever it is. And I think that's just fine. That's absolutely fine. And the only thing that makes it not fine is just something going on inside your head that tells you that you're less than because you don't want to do that. Because the truth is, there's plenty of young riders out there and young professionals who also do not want to ride the horse that's bucking or solve the aggressive problems and stuff like that. I've met some of those too. I've met very talented young professionals who maybe started out being, you know, the problem horse fixer, and they're still in their 20s and they're like, I don't want to do that anymore. They want to start a family. They don't want, you know, they're a mom now and they don't want to deal with all that. So again, if you're an older professional, maybe used to do that, the fact that you don't want to do that anymore doesn't mean you're old and used up. It just means you're making a different decision now. You just have different priorities, and that's okay. It doesn't mean anything more than that. The trainers that I've met that are of a certain age, when I observe them, I just feel like they are at their most wise. They're most sensitive, in the best sense of that word. They're most compassionate selves, but they're somehow feeling less than. And I can relate to that too. And I hated that feeling. And this is why I've been thinking about this so much, because I want to get out of that stage of like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Oh, it's all falling apart. Like, I just can't live there. Right. So I see in them, and I just appreciate seeing them because they can be my mirror. I just see their wisdom. I see their sensitivity. I see their compassion. and I see what they can do, and they're just having to do it differently. It's just different. It's not less than. Sometimes in order to really understand something, I play with imagining the opposite. The worst thing that can happen as we become older horse professionals is to be unaware of what has changed, and to not be as kind and slow as you want because you worry about being judged as ineffective by other professionals. It'd be bad to have wisdom but not share it because you don't think it's what your clients want. And to be set in your way and stubbornly try to be the same rider you used to be when clearly you're not, and then blame the horse for poor results. And the worst thing is to not realize that maybe right now you're at your best. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. From a practical aspect, there may be times when now you're going to need to ask for more help and have an assistant that has a younger body with a nervous system that's oblivious to all the things that you know could go wrong. And, you know, so that simply the horse can be given a message that, like, everything's going to be okay. And that requires a lot of wisdom and humbleness to take that step and ask for help, especially if you're the type of professional that, you know, could ride every horse. And it doesn't mean that you have to just throw the horse away to someone, because I know it's really hard as a professional to ask for help from somebody else. So you can ask for help and do it in a situation where you are still the mentor and the leader of the process. And it's a chance to really practice and share your idea with a person who can implement it. And I know it takes finding the right individual to do that, but it's possible. And the value of working with you and working through the ideas should be, you know, if you pick the right person, they would value that. So like I said before, I'm living this. So just turned 60 and it's a thing for sure. And it hasn't been fun or easy. I don't know how it just snuck right up on me, but I really am determined to make the most out of it. I'm determined to not, you know, be feeling bad for myself. I want to learn from it. And like I said, what's helped me the most is working with other professionals going through this same transformation at this point in their lives, because it's not just a horse thing. It's just a life thing too. And again, I see talent, skill, knowledge, wisdom, compassion, caring, the gift of experience, you know, and the gift that they are to their students and their horses. And, you know, the universe has a very good sense of humor and loves to send special people, special horses that force us to do things differently. And I've seen a fair amount of this, that these professionals who are in the situation, a number of, maybe it's just the ones that end up coming to me because they want some help, but it's like, you know, they'll tell me like, this horse is different, or this horse is special, or like, I think when I was younger, I would have ridden through it, but they know they don't want to, not just because of themselves, but because they see the horse differently. They see this horse's special needs, and they've probably met lots of horses in their life that they've had to try to retrain because they see the problems that come up from just pushing through and putting that horse in the program that's the same as everybody else's program, and just like the horse has to fit in. And so this is the gift of wisdom and experience. If you can see it differently, you go like, no, this horse needs something different. And it really seems like these horses come along, and if you look at them as the opportunity that they are, it's a chance to do, it's a chance to do things differently because you have to. You just can't do it the same way. And I think that's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to either let these horses make us feel inadequate and inept and much older than we really are, or they can provide an opportunity to have to think and feel and problem solve and navigate the training process differently. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. So not out of a feeling of less than or incapability, not with frustration, not with blame or fear or anger, but with curiosity and confidence and patience and willingness to change. And that's just plain good advice for everyone. And I think we can all, you know, picture some of the more cranky old professionals, you know, that have been doing this game for a long time and who aren't self-aware, who are all those things I said earlier. They're not self-aware. They're not realizing the shift. They're not admitting the shift. And the blame is going on the horse. And they're just tired and frustrated because it just isn't working anymore. And they just, the only thing they know how to do is just keep trying to do it until it breaks them. And that's a shame. So anyway, I hope this helps. It sure helps me to write and talk about it. So there you go. I feel happier. And I hope you do too. All right. Bye. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse. Move in harmony and enjoy the process.